Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday morning here in Westminster, Colorado. You're on Blog Talk Radio, The Cosmic Citizen, with Paula Thompson and Crystalline Beek Larson. We have a great guest today. We're interviewing Mr. Stephen Scafidi. Stephen is an award-winning filmmaker. He's written and produced and directed many documentaries for television and the big screen. He has over 25 years of experience. Recently, his films include Ain't That Super. It's a great story about two guys who walk into a bar on the day of the Super Bowl and claim they've got Saints tickets to the big game. Also, he's won many awards at various film festivals around the country. And we're going to be talking to him today about his latest project, which is a film that's in development right now about the mystery of the 11/11 phenomenon. And you, our listeners will know we've talked about this before. We've talked about it at length, actually. And so, Stephen, it's great to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So tell us all about your project with your film, The 11/11.
I'm always looking for a good story, and this one's very unique because in November this year, it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I couldn't get the number 11 out of my head, and I'm watching television or trying to relax. I think it's a Friday night, and I just couldn't relax, and I finally tried to go to sleep. I tossed and turned. About 1 a.m., I wake up, I get out of bed, and I start writing down on a piece of paper all of these ideas that I'm seeing in my head, and it had to do with the number 11. And so the next day, we go to that night, which was November the 14th, we go to dinner with my family, and we're talking about, you know, what's going on. And my sister tells me that when I started talking about the 11, she said, "Do you realize that this is the 20th anniversary of Dad's death?" And I said, "No, I had no idea." Make a long story short, 11 o'clock on the night before he died, I got a call from my mom, and I rushed over to his house, and he went into cardiac arrest. It was 11 p.m. He was transported to the hospital in unit 111. He died on the table at 1:11 a.m. the following morning. He was born on the 11th. He died on the 11th. And it just keeps getting crazier you know, as we go. He's buried in plot number 11, row number 11. He played professional baseball. He was number 11. He's the 11th of 11 kids, and on and on. So I believe that this story was definitely inspired by my father.
Wow, wonderful. And Crystal, I don't want to hog up the interview here. If you have anything, just jump.
No, I just, you know, was very curious about how that moved into a narrative for your film.
How it moved into what? I didn't hear
that. How it moved into a narrative for your film.
Oh.
And if you had researched, you know, quite a bit about the 11/11 phenomenon before you started writing.
I have since that time, but when I first started writing, that next day, after I realized what was going on, it took me about 24 hours to digest the entire story. So over the weekend, I think it was Sunday night, I told my wife, I said, you know, I have another story to write. I had made a commitment to her. I was not going to write another screenplay because I've written 8 of them, 9 of them over the past 3 years. I promised I was going to start making the films. But the stories just kept coming. And so I just kept writing. When I told her about this one, she rolled her eyes. She said, you got to be kidding me. You're not going to write another one, are you? I thought you were going to make another film. I said, well, I've got to write this one. So I had another project that was at the top of the list, and then this one just came forward because of the time frame, the date, and everything else. When I first started writing the story, I did very little research on the 11/11 phenomenon, so to speak. I did go online and start searching 11, and I found that's where I found Chris Morris on the internet, and then him and I started talking, and that's when I ran into George Bernard with the 11/11 Progress Group. But when I wrote the story was already, it seemed like it was already written. I just had to put it on paper. So it was definitely inspired from something much greater than me.
Wow. So you decided to write a story about the 11/11 and the phenomenon, and then ended up finding George Bernard and other various groups. Were you aware that the 11/11 is such a phenomenon right now? With people?
Well, when I first started writing this screenplay, I wasn't. I mean, I thought it was very unusual with the number 11 in my father. We talked about that, my dad and I. Now, keep in mind, he's passed away 20 years ago. But, you know, when I was growing up, my number was 12 because I was born on the 12th, January 12th. I was number 12 when I played sports and so forth. He was number 11. And we always talked about it because he used to say, you know, I'm the 11th of 11 kids, 11/11, November the 11th, his birthday, and on and on. So, you know, we did talk about it, but it was never like, We didn't put it in a box and say, okay, this is the 11/11 phenomenon. We just talked about it and found it very unusual. But as I started writing the story, everything started to come to light. And keep in mind, this is a very personal story about a man in search of the meaning of 11/11. That's what it, and it's through my eyes and my father's, inspired by my father.
Wow, wonderful. Well, we have a couple of callers already, and I know you had a friend, Chris, that was going to call in. So let's put these callers through just in case. You said he was at a conference, and so I don't want to miss him. I forgot to ask you what his area code was. Do you know that offhand?
It's in my phone. I can't look at it now, but he's out of Detroit.
Area code 281, you're on Blog Talk. Cosmic Citizen.
You guys might want to mute your computers because we're hearing feedback on the air. So if you're calling in to talk on the air, please mute your computer.
Please do. 281, you're on with us. Area code 281. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Please
Hi.
Mute your computer, ma'am.
Yeah.
I need to put it on mute.
Yes,
I guess.
Please. That way we'll get the feedback, the echo.
Yeah. Don't need any echoes.
We have a several second delay between what we say on the air and what you hear on the phone when you call in. So.
Yeah, I have done some broadcast work, so I'm familiar with that.
Oh, great.
Well, welcome to the
And hold on just a moment, caller. I want to put another caller through. Area code 810, you're on the air with Blog Talk Radio and the Cosmic Citizen.
Hello, this is Chris Morris calling in
Chris?
With Stephen. Yeah.
He said, we didn't get the name of the first lady either we brought on the air, Paula.
No, I know. Area code 281, what's your name?
My name is Jeannie, like in the lamp, Hefner.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to Blog Talk.
Thank you so much.
Get Chris on the air, too, because Stephen had told me he'd be calling in. Okay, so I want to ask you guys, what do you know now about the 1111? What have you learned, and what is your take on the meaning of this?
Which would you like to go first? I don't want to interrupt.
Well, Stephen or Chris, either one.
Yeah, let me start real quick. And then, Chris, hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah, all right.
You know, like I said, it was inspired by my father. And if you go to the website, the1111phenomenon.com, you can read about the film. You can read about the inspiration of the story. You can read about all the facts that the 11 relates to my father, and I've even put some facts in there about the worldly events. Now, you know, when I contacted Chris, I really didn't know a whole lot about the 11/11 phenomenon so much. It was more the story of the 11/11 and my father and how it related to me. And then Chris opened my eyes to a lot of things, and, you know, he's got things on his site, on his blog, that I started to read. And then he introduced me to George Bernard, and that's how it all got started.
Right.
Yeah,
Chris,
why don't you
fill us in a little bit on what happened?
Yeah. I kind of let Stephen in on some of the things that were happening, that this phenomena is worldwide, that it's estimated 75 to 100 million people on this planet are experiencing this 1111 time prompt and other number sequences that they're seeing these numbers, and it's more than a coincidence. And people that do see it, they understand this, and those that don't see it, they view it as it is a coincidence, or we're just looking for those numbers. But truly, when it happens to you, you know that there's something bigger, something outside of yourself. That this universe that we live in is a lot bigger than what we've been led to believe in our society, that we are living in a time where spirit presence in this planet is helping humanity progress and move forward to a greater era of life on this planet.
Amen.
And the 11/11 time prompt is a wake-up call to people and to start living a more spiritual life, and not necessarily a religious life, but a more spiritual life, and to take responsibility for yourself and for this planet, that it's not just about you, it's about us, it's about the whole. And so many people are starting to experience this now, and they're coming together, they're finding you know, online, the internet's a wonderful tool for people to come together on this, and they're learning about these things. And we can see in our world right now what's happening. People's lives are changing rapidly, the change across the planet right now. And this is all part of a program of, you know, God getting involved in our lives. And so this movie is really going to bring that awareness to the mainstream media, which is unprecedented right now. No one has touched this thing before. And I think when people see it out there, and they are experiencing, there's a lot of people that are experiencing it, and they feel alone in it. And and they're afraid to talk about it. So
yep.
I think it's really going to open things up for people when they see it, and they're going to get interested, and they're going to start making those connections, and they're going to learn about it, and it's just going to be a snowball going downhill. It's really exciting.
Well, Chris, I'm one of those people. I've been seeing the 11th for about 20 years.
Okay.
And
wow.
In the beginning,
exactly what I thought.
Yes, I do. In the beginning, I thought I was nuts, and everybody else thought I was nuts.
Yep.
And then they became more and more often, and I started searching more and more. Even numerologists had no idea what I was talking about. I searched
right.
everywhere.
Yep.
And it's just been very recently that I have gone outside my little circle and started searching and researching, trying to find the answer of what it's all about and what it has to do with me. And so that's, you know, I'm one of your followers that would like to be more involved and like to find out what the heck does it mean and what does it expect of me and what can I do to understand it better. I'm a
right.
very spiritual
right.
person, and I believe in it.
Amen.
You know what's funny? Is that Paula? Paula, was that you?
No,
this
that
is
was
Jeannie.
Paula.
Oh, Jeannie.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I want to let you guys know that when I first started, I didn't realize how affected I was by the 11/11 until after I started working on the project. And I must have called Chris every day. Chris and I have been talking almost every day since we started this project. And I see the 11 all the time now. I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night, glance over at the clock, and it's 1:11 a.m. or you know, it just keeps hitting me over and over again. I could go on for hours how many times I've seen that number since I've started. And
I tried to record how many times I saw it a day for a long time. I lost count. It happens to me on a daily basis 8 to 10 times a day, and then it'll taper off, and I may not see it for a week or two, and then it hits
right.
again. And it's every day, every night, everywhere I go, everything I do.
Did you realize we started this interview at 11 a.m. today, Central Time? That's my time.
Oh, yeah,
Central,
I noticed
so,
that.
Yeah, I noticed it. I just noticed it.
Oh, yeah. I thought you did it on
Here's
purpose.
The thought, guys. The power of 11/11, and I don't know, Chris, I think you may have experience with the Urantia book. I'm not sure.
Yes, I do.
I know George Bernard was getting the 11/11 prompts also, like you, Jeannie, for many, many years. And he was in contact with a group of beings that he came to know as the Midway Guardians. He knew them as the 11/11 Midway, or let's see, Celestial Guardians of the Midway Realms, I believe.
Yeah.
And he found the Urantia book just quite coincidentally. And he called me one day. I've worked at the end of an 800 number for the Urantia book for many years. And he called me one day and he said, we were talking, and he told me that he'd been having this experience with these beings. He knew them as the 11/11 guardians. And I told him, oh, you must be talking about the loyal secondary midwares. And he said, the what? And I said, the loyal secondary midwares on our planet. There's 1,111 of them. And
wow.
He said, no, I didn't know about that yet. I hadn't read that part of the book. I said, well, yeah, the book describes them as the secondary midwayers. They're on the ladder of living beings between us and God. They're as close to us as a spiritual being can get. They're just outside of the realm of our human vision. In other words, if our eyes were equipped, like, say, just like as you look through a microscope and you can see microscopic creatures, if our eyes were equipped to see them, we would be able to see them. But they're different than angels in that they do have power in the physical realm. In other words, they have power over physical things, just as
it's
we
kind
do.
Of in between human and angel.
Right.
I have actually had a visitation.
Yeah, they can move objects. They can.
No, they. I had one sit down in front of me and talk to me for a couple of hours.
Yeah, they can. They can appear to people,
yes,
as well.
And they have done that, and they have saved people. The Urantia book says that when Daniel was let out of the lion's den, it was attributed, that feat was attributed to angels, but it was actually midwayers who did that.
Yes.
They are the permanent guardians of this world. They're the residents, the permanent residents of this planet. They don't get to ascend. We all get to ascend. They don't until the planet reaches advanced stages of light and life, and then they do get to ascend. This is all in the Urantia book. So when I mentioned this to George Bernard, he went, oh, my God. You know, he had no idea they were mentioned in the Urantia book. And, of course, then he went and read up on them and has, I'm sure, since then finished reading the book. But so we have some clear concepts of who these beings are. They actually...
And there's a lot more than 1,111 now.
I'm sure. There's
only 1,111 secondary midwayers. There's
no,
a much larger number of primary midwayers.
Yes, that is true. From what I understand now, since the... Well, okay, this may be controversial, but since the end of the Lucifer Rebellion, is what the midwayers tell us, those numbers have increased. Some of them have been rehabilitated. And we also have on loan to us from other worlds their populations of secondary midwayers.
Could it be that we are those that are in training?
Those in training?
Yes.
Somehow
that keeps coming back to me in thoughts and everything, is that I'm going through so many different tribulations and lessons because I'm one that's in training.
Well,
yes,
we all are.
We all are.
Yes,
okay.
That's true.
Yes. We all are in training.
Some of us are actually our pupils of some of the midwayers, because we may have influence in certain areas of society that can make a difference globally or in a society, and they will work with individuals because it is their goal, as we know, to see that this world progresses into an enlightened age, because they want to go home too. And
right.
So they work with, and like Stephen, he is somebody that has influence through his media, through this movie, to inspire a lot of people. So they're working with him right now. If he realizes it or not, they're going to make things happen.
Yep.
This movie is going to come out, and it's really going to make a mark in this world.
Which, by the way, I have been in the entertainment and video audio production for most of my life, and I very much would like to see if there's some place that I could help in this.
Very good. Very good.
Well, I could use all the help I can get, right, Chris?
Oh, believe me, I'm sure.
Right.
Well, I would love to talk to you about it.
And some of us are trying to put together an event on 11-11-11 to pull people from all different groups together who are working with the 11-11, to pull together an event where people from all different walks of life and from all different backgrounds come together and collect in one place to further networking for the 11-11.
Well, I'm right there with you, girl.
Acknowledge angels and midwares for all that they're trying to do for us.
Please include me.
Yeah, we would love to. I can give you an email address that you can leave information if you're interested in working with the leaders of this event.
I'm extremely interested.
I want to give the website, too, for Stephen's website and the pictures you've made, and also the information about the 11-11 movie that is in the works right now. It's not done yet, but it's in the works, and you can learn more about Stephen's film on the 11/11, the mystery of the 11/11.
I am a subscriber. I get your messages on a daily basis, and I love them.
Right. Okay, so here's the website, www.ghostwriterpictures.com. And spelled just the way it sounds, www.ghostwriterpictures.com, for more information about Stephen's film. So, Stephen, when do you project this film's going to be ready for release? Will it be 11/11/11?
Well, there's a couple of theories here, and my goal is Halloween, which is 11 days prior to 11/11/11. We're actually looking at a production start date when we actually start shooting. I wanted to shoot the first Monday after the 4th of July, which just so happens to be July 11th. I didn't plan on the 11th. It just, you know, I looked at the calendar, said I don't want to shoot the week of the 4th of July. I want to shoot the week after. And it just happened to be the day we want to start is 7/11/11. So I don't know why these numbers keep popping up, Chris. You're going to have to tell me. Please help me here.
Well,
but,
I'm
learning. I'm learning as I go.
You got a team working with you now.
That's it.
You might not be able to see them, but they're there. Yeah.
It is.
You know what I love about this project, guys? What I love about this project is, and Chris can tell you, when I first talked to him, I was like, I don't understand what all of this means. I mean, I started reading what Chris had on his blog, and it was like, that is way above my head right now. All I knew was what my father and the number and what it meant to me, and I started writing, and everything just started to fall into place. And, you know, when Chris introduced me to George Bernard, it's just, I mean, I feel like we're on a great ride, and I'm just buckled my seatbelt, and I'm hanging on for the ride. It's gonna be a really good story. I can tell you that.
How long did it take you to finish the screenplay?
Well, I started writing right around the first of the year, maybe a little bit before then, and it took me about 8 weeks to write 2 drafts, and then I worked on the 3rd draft, and I sent it to Chris, and I will be tweaking the script all the way up until we start shooting. So we're in the process of putting all of the funding together right now so we can go into production in July. That's our plan.
Yeah. Wow, wonderful.
And how can people help if they're interested in investing or helping fund it or getting involved in the production? How does that work?
Well, anyone that would like to be involved in the production, they can go to our website and they can go straight to the film website, which is, they can get to it through my company, Ghost Rider, like the movie, R-I-D-E-R, ghostwriterpictures.com, or they can go straight to the movie site by going to the 1111, the number ones, okay, so the 1111phenomenon.com, and when they go there, on the front page, you're going to see a link that says investors, or you can invest in this film or something like that. Click there, and then it takes you to a form. You fill it out, and all the information, there's some information on the site, and all of the investor information will be sent to you.
Cool. And have you been in touch with or are you aware of the 1111 production company that Ellen DeGeneres?
I am very aware of that. In fact, Ellen's from New Orleans. I was friends. I knew her brother very well, her brother Vance DeGeneres, who created Mr. Bill on Saturday Night Live. He lived in New Orleans, grew up at the same time I did, and Ellen was just a little kid at the time. And, yeah, I do know her about her production company. And I have I've contacted her brother, Vance, and I definitely would like to talk to Ellen. Obviously, Ellen gets hit on by a lot of people about a lot of projects, but her brother knows me, so hopefully we'll be able to get to her very soon.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, she's very tuned into the number. And on my website, when you go to the front page, there's a link where you can click on and see Ellen talking about 1111 and how she was inspired to start that company of hers.
Mm-hmm. Great. And
now
tell
we're
us a little more about what's happened since you started working on the project and how you said you've been sort of feeling like you're ride.
Well, I lost the last little bit of what you were saying, but since I've started working on the project, everything seems to be falling into place. Chris can tell you I've called him on numerous occasions, and we've talked about things, and, you know, he just told me, he said, there's a great team on your team now. And he said that you're getting a lot of help you don't even know about. And I really feel that. I am so inspired. I've done some projects in the past that have gotten a lot of attention, and I think this one could top every project I've done so far. It feels really good. The story's there. It's a thriller. It's about this man who goes into the middle of the bayou, the Louisiana swamps, drags his family to this fishing camp that nobody's been to in many, many years, and it's kind of a scary setting. But he's trying to figure out what this number means to him, and he's going to find out, and he believes that the moment he's going to get the answer is on November the 11th, 2011 at 11 p.m. That's when he thinks it's going to happen. I mean, he is just crazy obsessed to find out, you know, what this is all about. And he's got an awakening. He's going to have an awakening on this. He'll be surprised.
The remarkable thing about this story is this man who's doing the searching, he's like a lot of us out there when we first experience it. We're doing all this searching to try to find out what it is. And we look on the internet, we look at numerology, you know, we read all these different things about it until we, you know, something settles in our mind that we are, our spirit, you know, says, yeah, this is right, this is what it is. And so that's the great thing about it, is because people will be able to relate to it, especially if they're seeing 11s. That this
right.
is what we go through until we, you know, we find that answer, and it feels good to us in our heart and in our soul that this is what's happening, and I find that people that are receiving the signs, they feel this unity when they know that others are seeing it, and they start to. It's a different set mind change. You start
right.
thinking that I'm not. It's not about me anymore. It's about us. It's about the whole. And that goes into everything. So global sustainability. I mean,
when you find out how many millions of people from so many different walks of life and so many different social strata are having this phenomenon, it does kind of blow you away.
Oh, yeah, even you know, it goes across religious lines everywhere, countries,
mm-hmm.
societies, cultures, everywhere. I
Politics.
Get email from people all over the world. And,
from very
you know,
conservative to very liberal,
yes.
from very religious to even people who
yes.
considered themselves really not spiritual at all.
Right.
And they're all being brought together with this phenomenon. It's pretty amazing.
Right, because to all these social structures and political and national, these are things that separate us, okay?
Right.
The Spirit of God is something that unifies, so it crosses all those barriers.
Absolutely.
It affects everybody that is getting this cosmic tap on the shoulder.
Right.
Well, that's
and
a great way.
You guys probably know, you know, one of the reasons that we bring people on the air who are interested in the 1111 is we really want to let people know that there is, you know, a book out there, the Urantia book, that has this very detailed description not only of who the 1111 are, but of the whole structure and meaning of the universe, the purpose
exactly.
of life, and that answers so many philosophical questions, which claims, by the way, Jeannie, to be a book written ahead of its time in order to train leaders and teachers for the spiritual age, which is just around the corner.
Well,
so
I would
when,
like to...
when you said you were feeling like you were being brought to this in order to become a teacher, that might have been sort of one of the prompts you were getting. But we were not trying to push this on people or shove it down anybody's throat, but just to let people know that the Urantia book exists.
I don't think you can push this down their throats. This has to be something that you either feel and experience and search for answers, or
yes.
are you understand it.
That's exactly.
Absolutely.
You cannot proselytize that
no.
at all. It's you will come to it. You will when you find it.
Oh yeah.
You will understand that it. That's it. It answers so many questions.
I am so happy to have found y'all. I'm just ecstatic. You have no idea what's going on in my body right now.
Well,
it's wonderful.
Wow.
Finally.
You have no idea what's going on in my head right now. I'm ready.
Oh, I can imagine.
You know, I think I could write the sequel to this. I'm feeling this energy, and anybody that knows me, and if you guys happen to look at my website and you can see some of the stories I've written, when I sit down to write, and I love writing at coffee shops. I don't like writing when it's too quiet. I need a little noise, so when they're grinding
yeah.
coffee in the background or people are walking in and out of the coffee shop, it actually inspires me because sometimes, you know, when I get writer's block, every writer knows what writer's block is.
Mm-hmm.
When you get writer's block
mm-hmm.
and you can't figure out, okay, where the story's going, when I'm sitting out in the coffee shop, all I have to do is look up and I look around at the people or somebody comes walking in the door. And for some reason, and maybe, Chris, you might be able to tell me why this happens, I'll look at somebody and all of a sudden the story just comes clear again. You
well,
know, it's,
the
it's
energy
crazy.
That's bringing it to you.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you know what it is, Stephen, is it removes the block and opens your mind up. It's like a form of meditation. A lot of people say, well, I can't meditate. Well, yeah, you do. A lot of people, when they go in the shower, they meditate. They think
mm-hmm.
about a lot of deep things, and they don't realize it, but that's a form of meditation. Other people, they go running. You know, when they run, they open their mind up, and these things come in, and thoughts and creativity and all these things.
And I think
yeah,
changing the focus,
meditation.
I think also changing the focus of your mindset, even momentarily, can
yes.
open up the creative energy channels. And
exactly.
one of the things that I've been very impressed with in my life, one of the things we hear about in the Urantia book is that angels are actually ideational clearinghouses, that they're sort of the repository of ideas. And because their origin, there is the universal mind source. Angels actually have a lot to do with creativity, you know, fanning and acting sort of almost as muses for our creativity.
Yeah, they're coordinators.
And they're coordinators, right. And so
right,
when
now,
we have a mental block or a creativity block, and they can get us just to change our thinking, just to, like you said, Steve, just focusing on someone else walking into a room, we get outside of our own thought pattern, and we start being curious about someone else or something else or what's happening around us. And that allows that creativity flow to start engaging again.
Steve, when you
it's
have
crazy.
A writer's block, please call me. Boy, do I have some stories for you.
It's crazy what happens. I mean, Chris and I have never met personally, but I feel like I've known Chris for a while. How do you feel, Chris? Am I driving you crazy
oh,
yet, or are you feeling good about it?
I'm feeling good, and I'm ready to come down. When you, as soon as you start production, I'll be down there.
Where
right.
are
you?
And I just
where are
I'm
y'all
in,
located?
I'm in Michigan. I'm about 40 miles north of Detroit.
Okay.
What
kind of work do you do, Chris? By day, I'm a mechanical engineer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And but I if you've been to my blog site, I post messages on there. I channel a group of ascended mortal teachers called the Circle of Seven, and I post weekly to my blog. And
what's the name of your blog?
It's 111prompt.blogspot.com.
Is that have the colon in it?
No,
or just
it does
one,
not. 1111 prompt, PROMPT, .blogspot.com.
Dot what?
And Jeannie, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in Houston, Texas.
And what kind of work do you do? What's your day job?
Well, right now I'm semi-retired and I do real estate, but the majority of my life I was in the entertainment and video production.
Oh, okay.
And movies, documentaries, training films, script writing, chief cook and bottle washer and babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did it all. So,
well, and I also want to say that I've also got a site called the Urantia Media Arts .com. Urantia Media Arts is an organization set up to promote and coordinate people who are doing film writing and various type of communication arts projects that have been inspired by data from the Urantia book. We've got a bunch of people who are working on films together and supporting each other through that network. So I'd love to be able to stay in touch with you all for that reason as well.
Oh, girl, you got me. I'm so excited about this.
Here's the thing about the midwares and what's going on here. And, you know, I know there's a lot of speculation, and we could speculate wildly about it. And I've had some folks on the board saying, why 1111 and what's the significance? Well, first of all, for me, it's all one. It's all one. And
right.
I think that now here's the deal for me. We're on this planet. We've been isolated. The Urantia book explains this. The little history of the book, it came through in the early part of the 20th century. It took a full 50 years and probably more than that. But from the time they started making contact with human beings, it took 50 years to get it from the initial contact phases into book form. It is the most comprehensive, amazing revelation of truth that I have ever seen, and if somebody has a better one, I would love to see it. This thing is absolutely mind-boggling in its scope, in its consistency, in its beauty, in its language, in its prose, in its science, religion, and philosophy. It is holistic by design. It is interfaith by design. Many of the movements
of the 20th... It's totally unifying.
Unifying, incredible revelation of truth. And what they're telling us is the time has come for our world to know, and for the humans on our world to know, that we are not alone. We have never been alone. We have all kinds of and assistance coming in from every direction. Spiritual help and assistance from the inner universe, from inside of ourselves, where Jesus said over and over again, the kingdom of heaven is within the hearts of men. God is in you. He said at one point, men search with aching hearts for the very God that lives within them. We have angels. We have midwares. We have all manner of powerful spiritual beings, Melchizedek, and archangels. And the Urantia book explores these various things in depth. It tells us all about them, what they're doing, how they're here, why they're here, how they're helping us. And these 11...
And then there's also a very detailed description of not only our immediate life after death, but our entire adventure of ascending through the universe to paradise. It's a really exciting and inspiring adventure that lies ahead, as opposed to something to dread or to be afraid of. It's so hopeful and encouraging and positive.
And here's another thought. These very beings that we're talking about, the 1111 that are trying so hard to get our attention because they've been here for thousands of years and they've watched us evolve and they know us better than we know ourselves, they were given permission to give us back the entire life and teachings of Jesus, which is in the Urantia book. It is the most exquisite story of Jesus you will ever read. And given back to us from these beings that were there. They are literally the cosmic custodians of our planet. They're the custodians.
The record keepers.
The record keepers. They gave us the life and teachings of Jesus in the Urantia book, which is absolutely exquisite. So what are they doing? They're trying to get our attention. Why? Because our world is in dire right now. And, you know, we're in my estimation, we're headed for a cliff. and they're trying to get us to pay attention so that we wake up and stop doing the things that we're doing and realize that we have the help we need if we will just get conscious about what's going on. So
and that we
that,
can
to
join
me,
together and work together with
right.
people of all different points of view, religious backgrounds, like you were saying earlier, political, economic backgrounds, that we don't have to agree on things theologically or politically in order to agree on the same goals, and that it's our goals and our spirit that unifies us, and that it is our job to work with people of very diverse points of view. And the more diverse points of view that come together and work together, the more creative our solutions will be.
Right. And so, Steve, you know, these midwayers are working with you, brother.
I can feel it.
You were born to do this. You know, the 1111 is just their wake-up call. That's what it is. It's a wake-up call. To realize that maybe there's a destiny for you that you weren't, you know, you weren't aware of, but suddenly now you are. And
you know, if I may interject here, I did say to Stephen when he first contacted me, I said, Stephen, did it ever occur to you that all this synchronicity with your father and the number 11 was really to bring you to the point that you are right now?
Oh, of course it is.
Right. So, you know, this is planning that goes on, you know, far, far, you know, ahead of time. And so,
now,
yeah,
you know,
here
you
Chris, are.
You know, Chris, when I first started talking to you about this, I told you the story about the New Orleans Saints when they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I started writing, I wrote a book last year, and actually I started writing the book 6 months before the Super Bowl. And, you know, who would have believed the New Orleans Saints going to win the Super Bowl? And they've never come, you know, they've never come close in
right.
44 years. So what made me think they would that particular year? And I just had that premonition. And I just felt it so strongly that I decided to write the book. It was the same feeling I had with this story. I felt in my heart it was the right thing to do. I know it's a good story. A lot of people are going to, you know, some people will like this story, and they don't know the first thing about 1111. Now, they will, after they watch the film. This is not a documentary about 1111. This is a a thriller,
it's
about
a novel,
this guy,
right?
In search of the number. But it's going to reach a lot of people that don't even have a clue what 1111 means. And I'm hoping that they discover the power of whatever's happening to me in a similar way that it hit me. Because Chris told me one time, don't look so hard for it. Don't search. You know, here's this guy in my story searching. And Chris kind of said, it's coming to you right now. You don't have to go after it. It's coming after you. Am I right there, Chris?
That's absolutely right. It's not something you
and
look for.
And here I was searching so hard. And sometimes I'll get frustrated, and I'll call Chris and say, Chris, I'm really frustrated right now. And he says, you got a great team behind you. Just hang on for the ride. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Right. And I just like to say here now, too, is, you know, we still need help to bring this thing to fruition. We need investors. So you can be a part of what I think is going to be a historical event. That there's going to be this repercussions and echoes from this movie that are going to go far into the future. So, people, you have an opportunity to step up and be a part of that. And it's exciting, and you really need to support it if you believe in it. And I just want to encourage people to go to the website and take a look at the investor forum and see if there's something there that you can get involved with.
And that is, again, www.ghostwriterpictures.com, right? Where that,
yeah, or you can go directly to it by going to the 1111phenomenon.com, and that'll take you straight to the site, and then you can, check the links out there.
Right.
You can read about the story. You can get the investor form. You can read about my father. You can read about other things on there. Yeah, there's even a guest book. So if you have a story to tell, sign the guest book. Tell us your story, and we may be in touch with you.
Take a look at that guest book if you do go there, because you'll see there's people from all over the world, and they're writing in Spanish and different languages about this experience that they're having. It's amazing. It's incredible, and it's really inspiring.
May I ask, is there a way of getting a transcript or a CD or whatever of this broadcast?
Broadcast will be archived within 24 hours after the show. You'll be able to go to the site, and you can upload it or download it onto an MP3.
Cool.
Okay?
Yes, thank you.
So today we're supposed to be experiencing the rapture, you guys. And I just wanted to throw something out there that is,
well,
that
I'm feeling really good. Does that count?
Yeah, me too. And if you're waiting for the rapture, maybe you missed it. Because the rapture is every day that you wake up and realize
you.
You're living in
a
friendly and well-ordered universe, and that the real things of the universe are on your side. And, you know, when you set out to do a project like this, and my hat is off to you, Stephen, because it takes a lot of faith to... And you've done these films before. This is your business, so you know what you're doing, and you know how to bring it together. That experience was priceless, but it still takes a lot of faith to step out and do something like this. And you feel their help, and God bless you for that. And you know, I think that I love this story, and I love the concept of it. I guess you're doing it from a fictional point of view, if I'm understanding it correctly. It's not like your story. It's about a fictional character?
Yes. But it's inspired, you know, technically in the story, the lead character's name is Sam. He's the one on in search of the mystery. I guess you could say Sam is me. But, you know, it's not... You know, it is a fictional story. And Sam's father, when he passed away, he would be 100 years old if he were alive today, and his birthday is 11-11-11. and he'd be 100 years old on 11-11-11. And one crazy sidebar to this whole story is when I was writing, one of the characters in the story, his name's Blackie. He's an old fisherman, and he happens to be 99 years old as we're telling the story. He's actually Sam, Mr. Sam, the older Mr. Sam's best friend. And he was his fishing buddy back in the day. Well, and when I wrote the story, I wrote the story where Blackie's birthday, he turns 100 on 12-12-12. He'll turn 100, so he's 1 year behind Mr. Sam. And my father, his best friend, his name's Bobby, and his best friend, I just found out this year, was born on 12-12-12. I just found that out this year. So I had no idea. Here I am writing about a fictional character whose birthday was 12-12-12, who happens to be the best friend of the lead character, of the lead character's father, and my father's best friend was born on 12-12-12. How strange is that? I mean, I could keep going. It's just endless what's been happening to me.
Well, I think you're very fortunate.
It's your affirmation that you're on the right track, I think.
Yep.
I don't know. You might want to tell my wife that, because she's kind of thinking I might have gone off the deep end here a little bit. But she's phenomenal. But she thinks, she said, okay, does he really still have it all together?
Or has he ever had it all together?
Wait, what was that? I missed that.
I just said, or have you ever had it all together?
You know, probably not. I have been a little different my entire life.
I think we're just pulling little pieces in. I think we're just pulling in little pieces here and there as we go and getting it all together. I think the whole process is an evolving and learning experience. And sometimes the most bizarre events are the things that really turn our lives around.
It is so strange. You know, I'm getting ready to go to, have you guys heard of Magigoria?
Oh, yes.
No.
Okay, you've heard of Magigoria. Well, I'm leaving next Sunday for 10 days, and I'm following 50 young people on a journey to Magigoria. And I'm shooting this film. This is a documentary I'm shooting. And I'm shooting this film through the eyes of me and my son. My son's going to be my sound man. I'm going over there with a very small crew. I'm going to pick up a couple of helpers over there. But this documentary is going to be shot through my eyes because I'm not
sure
what to believe.
Where is there?
Where's
Magigoria.
What's that?
Where are you going?
Magigoria is in Bosnia. It's near Bosnia. So it's over in the old Yugoslavia. And since, you know, over the past few years, Yugoslavia has changed so much, but it's in that eastern block of Europe. And so we're going over there. And, you know, I don't know
this
what to expect, but it's kind of a journey. Similar.
Yeah. Stephen, I think we need clarification. Medjugorje, this is where the apparitions of Mary were and all the pilgrimages over there to see that. Am I correct?
Right. She appeared... The divine feminine appeared to a group of children, right? More than one.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Now, I'm not sure what to believe. I'm a good Christian man. I go to church, but I'm not sure what to believe. So I'm going over there with a bit of skepticism. People have told me that their rosaries turned to gold and all of this. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm on a journey myself to seek the meaning of all of this. So this is a really good lead-in to my film because I'm on a journey seeking something and seeking the truth or seeking the greater meaning of life by following these 50 young people. I find it's amazing in today's time when most people think that young people don't care. You know, they're out, they're too busy having a good time and partying and things like that. Here's 50 young people taking 10 days out of their lives to go to, you know, the other side of the world to go to Magigoria. I think it's amazing.
I think that we would agree with you that young people are really lit today a lot more than a lot of people know. When you look at the numbers of people who are interested in these types of phenomenon and who are gathering together and unifying over the idea of world peace, you know, the green movement, coming together to make the world a safer and a better place for everyone, I think that it's a very large phenomenon. And I think we really need to give young people a lot more credit.
It's amazing. I have a lot, you know, I've got three young people, children, 24-year-old son who's going to be going with me on the trip, a 22-year-old daughter who just graduated yesterday from LSU, and my little one's 18, and she's a freshman in college, and she's a spitting image of me, which makes me a little concerned right now, I'm going to tell you, but... You know, she's cut out the same mold as I am, and she's a dreamer. She's a visionary one, and she does not follow the road most traveled. She always takes the other road, and that's the way I've been my entire life. So, for better or for worse, I told my wife when she married me, I said, "You knew you would get what you were getting into when you married me. You fell in love with that guy. Don't forget that." So,
well, you know, when you're on that creative edge. It really is a different place to be, and but you have to be there in order to bring forth the fruits of that creativity, and the creative imagination is really directly linked to the spirit. And so oftentimes we weigh ourselves down with you know, beliefs that you know, the Urantia book says beliefs fixate, but faith liberates. And when you just step out there with faith and you allow your creative imagination to romance the universe, it's amazing sometimes what happens. I mean, I would say it's always amazing what happens. When man goes in partnership with God, great things can and do happen. And
you know what? I agree with you 1,000%. But I have to tell you that our human nature, at least my experience, there's times when I question myself, like, okay, all of my friends, everybody I know has, you know, most of my friends go the traditional path in life. Me, for whatever reason, I've always taken this other road. And sometimes I question myself saying, okay, am I doing the right thing? And I really believe in my heart I am. You know, life is about making choices. And sometimes the choice is not when you analyze it and you break it down and you try to figure it out. Sometimes the choice is right there in your heart. You feel it. You know it. And I believe, and I've always said this, I've said this to my kids over and over again. I said, when you listen to your heart, you're listening to God. I believe that. Your brain is so, you know, all of the stuff from the world and all of the things that happen in life affect your mind. But your heart is where the real answers come from. That's what I believe.
Very good. Hey, Stephen, I got to
yes.
sign off now, buddy. That was fantastic what you just said. Cut and print.
well, I appreciate that. Coming from you, Chris, that means a lot, brother.
Yeah. Okay,
hey,
we're good talking, everybody.
Would y'all please remember the name Jeannie, like in the lamp? Because you will be hearing from me.
Okay.
All right, Jeannie.
Nice
hey,
talking,
Chris.
Everybody.
Thank you for
I'll
calling
talk to you
in,
soon.
Chris.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm still with you guys, right?
Yes, you
You're
are.
Still
I'm
with
still
us.
Here.
Someone on our board just posted, and here's a coincidence. In the Urantia book, the story of the Midwayers shows up in paper 77. I never even noticed that before, but that's pretty good. I like that. So paper 77 of the Urantia papers, also known as the Urantia papers, 196 papers comprise the Urantia book, and paper 77 is all about the 1111. So
cool.
just for fun. Fifth Reader, thanks for that reference. And Fifth Reader says you can find the Loyal Secondary Midwares from paper 77, section 8, paragraph 11. So
well,
that's a little cosmic humor from the from our friends in Midway. They love to get our attention that way.
They're also geniuses with numbers.
Yeah, well, they are. Angels, your Rancho book tells us, and they are the lowest of the order of angels. Well, they're midway between men and angels, that they are the master mathematicians of the universe of universes, and that they are the record keepers, and they literally have the head, the hairs on your head numbered. I mean, whenever you get stuck with numbers, just ask them for help. Go ahead.
Well, I've got something. Since you said that they're mathematicians, my son was at Georgia Tech, and then after Katrina came, ended up back at LSU and graduated magna cum laude, and he's a mathematician. He graduated mathematics, my son. So I was pretty good in math, not quite that good. So I just think there's so many instances here, you know, that have come up that, you know, when I wrote this story, I had people pulling against me to even start writing. Some of my closest loved ones, such as my wife, said, please don't write another story, and so I had to get over that hurdle. And to be honest with you, I didn't tell her. I just started doing it. So I went into the coffee shop and just started writing. And when I met Chris, I mean, you heard from Chris. He's such a great guy. And I've never met him personally. We've talked on the phone 100 times since we first met. But he's educated me a lot. And then I had a great conversation with George Bernard about a week or two ago. And he's behind the film, and he's telling everybody that follows him about the movie. So I do think, you know, that there's a lot of people pulling for this project, and I can tell you, I've never started a project I didn't finish.
Wow. Congratulations. That's saying a lot there, Steve.
It is. Congratulations for sure on that, because it does take a commitment to see something through. And certainly, a film is a collaboration of artists. You know, I've had people say to me, you know, what's so great about movies? I'd rather read a book. And I say, you know, books are great. One author sat down and wrote a book, and that's great. Books are amazing works of creativity. There's no doubt about it, and there's nothing better than a good book. But a film is a collaboration of artists. Literally hundreds of artists work together to create one film.
To create something that's even more far-reaching than a book, because what we know of is, you know, when we have a best-selling book, you know, we're really, really thrilled when a couple thousand, 100,000 maybe people read it. But a film comes out and it's seen by millions of people. And
you know, we were talking about young people a moment ago, and I had a conversation with a guy on the phone the other day that just really was thought-provoking. He told me, he said, you know, they're talking about the indigo children, and that's obviously another whole show we could do. I think they're the flower of evolution, these children who just seem to get it. They're there. They're already there. That's because evolution is a given, and every generation is better than the last. And you know, if we give them half a chance, they will flower, and they will be the beautiful beings that they truly are. But he said, these children that were raised in the 90s, the millennials, he said, think about the films that have affected them and have influenced them. And he said, there have been so many wonderful, amazing, spiritually, you know, films that have a great message that have come out in the last 2 decades. And, you know, I really had to think about that and say, you know, you're right. And he said these films have influenced these young people more than we know. And
I just think film is such a magnificent art form, simply because, and look, I'm a big reader. I love to read. But reading, it's just a different experience. I'm not sure what's better or not, but the thing about film is it touches all senses. It touches,
right.
It's visual, It's you see it, you hear it. I mean, you can even feel it in theaters now. And
you can and with the popcorn, you're tasting it too.
You know what? Here's the way I look at the difference between film and say the book world, or
mm-hmm.
radio. And I love radio
too. The written
too.
World. Mm-hmm.
The thing about books, the writer can take it so far, but then your imagination kicks
your
in.
Imagination
and you can kind
kicks
of,
in. Yeah.
Yeah, and you see that world. You know, two people can read the same book and kind of see the world maybe a little differently. When you watch
the
movie,
you fill
it's right
in the
there
pictures
in your face.
With your own, you fill in the pictures with your own imagination when you're reading.
Exactly. And you're visualizing, even though the author may describe what a person looks like or whatever, you're still imagining that person in your head. In the film world, when you're watching a movie, and this is what I love about it from the artist standpoint, there is no guesswork. I'm going to show you exactly what I want you to see. If I see
mm-hmm.
a blue sky or a dark sky or a red sky, I'm going to show it to you. So there's no guesswork. I mean, and the thing about the film world is, in this particular story, I'm going to take you on a roller coaster ride. So when you think you're going left, maybe you're actually going right. It's kind of like Space Mountain at Disney World. You really don't know what direction that track's going to go. And that's what makes it interesting and exciting for the filmmaker, because the filmmaker's job is to take the audience on a ride, and that's what I
exactly.
that's what I do, and that's what I intend to do with this one.
Exactly.
And you know what? When you make a film, you've got people's attention.
Hey, it's 11:11 right now, folks.
I was just looking at that. I didn't want to interrupt, but I just saw that.
Is
it
really?
In Houston, it's 12:11, and I just looked at my recorder. I just looked at my recorder on the television, and we have been on the air 1 hour and 11 minutes.
Yep, we have.
Really? Well, you guys are messing with me. I know that. I know you're messing with me, but that's okay.
I think it's messing with all of us.
We're in Mountain Time, Steve, so it really was 11:11 on my clock right at that moment.
Wow. No, I believe
well, right
you.
When
look,
you said
when
that,
you
it was 1. I'm sorry. Right when you said that, it was 1:11 on my recorder on the television.
You know, when you called me to set up this interview, and I didn't think about it because you kept saying it was going to be 10 o'clock, and then I finally had to figure out, oh, wait, you're Mountain Time, so that's 11 o'clock my time. And then I thought, okay, that they're messing with me for sure. So I was like, you did that on purpose. You set the show up at 11 o'clock Central just for me.
That's right.
All right.
It's true.
I told my daughter about the 11:11 because she kept seeing 11:11. And she kept, you know, and my other daughter frequently sees 3:33 or 2:22 or 5:55. And I told her that's an angel prompt. It's a prompt from the angels. And so my daughter set her wristwatch to go off at 11:11, and twice a day she says a little prayer thank you to them. And
there are a few different places on the internet where they talk about the 11:11 being a time of day for us all to pray together.
Right.
And, you know, there's so many different theories about what the 11:11 prompt is about, but I think that that's one of those things that is really special, that if people who are not in direct contact or who are not sort of getting on board with the entire phenomenon, if that would be all they did to participate in this movement, was to just simply stop and remember God, remember to pray for their fellows at 11:11 twice a day. That's at least a beginning of spiritualizing their personality and their habit patterns.
Exactly.
I hadn't thought about doing it that way. That's a wonderful idea.
Well, and imagine if all of us were praying, if every time we saw 11:11, we said a prayer of peace for the world, a prayer of healing for the sick, a prayer of love for and hope for the hopeless, and love for those who feel unloved, and a sense of self-esteem for those who feel unworthy. Imagine if every human at 11:11 prayed that, then all of humanity would be praying 24 hours a day.
May I ask you a favor?
Sure.
Would you please put that in writing and send it out to me, if no one else? And sure. I will start broadcasting it on Facebook and some other things and get some of my friends to broadcast it to their friends. And let's see how far it goes.
Sure.
Okay. Let's pay it forward.
Let's pay it forward. You bet. That's what we're all about. That's what being a cosmic citizen means, really. And
if
you know,
you would put
what,
just what you said just then in writing.
All righty.
I think that was a beautiful thing you said, and I think it should be broadcast.
All right. Well, let's do that this week, Paula.
Okay. And Jeannie, give me your email address. You can send it to me in a blog
talk radio.
I just
okay.
did, but let me tell you, it is I am a Jeannie. It's IAMAGENI at USA.com.
Okay, got it. Great, Jeannie, I will do that.
I would appreciate it because I think I've already got it started on my Facebook page about your websites and the movie and the 11:11, and people are starting to question me even more.
Oh, will you send me your information so I can, if you go to my movie 11:11 on Facebook, it's called
I have it.
It's called, you got it. All right, because I'm
and
I'm not,
we'll send you out our
it.
Broadcast to your email address too. Maybe you can put a link for us there too, Steve.
Absolutely. On Facebook, my Facebook page for the movie is called The Mystery of 11:11. It's 11:11. It's 11:11. The Mystery of 11:11. If you go there and just post something and put your links up there, I'll make sure it gets on the website and everything. And you can also go to the 11:11 website, my website, and you can post something there in the guest book. But post it on Facebook. We've got about 500 people following it right now, and George Bernard said we'll be over 1,000 next week. So let's
well,
see what
I presently have it on my screen, both the Akashic. I'm not pronouncing that right.
Akashic.
Akashic Construct 11:11 mm-hmm. and The Mystery of 11:11 with filmmaker Steve Scafidi. Are both on my screen right now.
Oh, great.
All right, why don't you send me something to my Facebook so I can post it, so I can have yours.
I'd just be delighted.
We're also putting a team of people together to gather at this event on 11:11:11 in Orlando. We would really like to build a leadership team to get that going. I started this about 6 to 8 months ago and then had some physical problems, and I got sidetracked and some trying to find some other people to help make that happen. We already have the space reserved, and we've got enough room for at least 500 rooms at the Marriott Orlando World on that weekend. And so we're really excited about the potential for that. So we'd love to have you involved and help you promote that.
Please forgive me, but what is your name again?
My name is Crystalline Larson.
That's pretty. Thank you.
And Steve,
and you know,
we're hoping that you'll be able to possibly show your film by that weekend. I know that might be a little fast to produce a film, but at least you might have some trailers by then.
Hey, wouldn't that be great? Do you think that's possible, Steve?
What's that again? You broke up right toward the end.
That you might have some trailers ready by 11:11:11.
Absolutely. There's a great chance the movie will be ready. My goal right now, my release date right now is October 31st.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, we would love to be able to show it at that event. So, cool.
So we will stay in touch, and like I said, please get on the Facebook and we can communicate through that, and whatever info you give me, I'll definitely put it out there, because we do have quite a few followers. So
terrific.
We'll do that, and plus I sent out a whole bunch of emails this morning about it. So I've got some friends out there that are following us right now.
Wonderful. Good job. Well, yeah. Tell us some more about the plot of the movie, if you can. I know you don't want to give anything away, but you said start out, you're looking for information about, or the protagonist is looking for information about his father, and he's convinced that he's going to find this information someplace in the bayous, and he somehow talks his family and friends into joining him on this adventure. And
when he goes into the bayou, all right, he goes really at the swamps, okay? I mean, it's the Louisiana swampland, and he goes to this fishing camp that his father took him to when he was a kid. Now, the story starts off, the film starts off with his father dying. That's how it starts. His father dies on 11-11-11. And his father dies. And actually, not on 11-11-11. His father dies on 11-11 at 11 p.m., but it's not on the 11th, okay? But he dies at 11-11, which happens to be his birthday, and his father was born on 11-11-11 in 1911. So anyway, he goes to this place where his father took him fishing, and he's in search of basically what 11-11 means, but he's also in search of the meaning of his own life. He's trying to figure out what's his life all about, why is he here, all of that. And so he brings his whole family there, his wife, his best friend, and his two kids. And they go meet his father's best friend, who happens to be a 99-year-old fisherman who lives in the bayou. And but nobody's been to this fishing camp in years. And it's kind of spooky out there because it's dark. And if you've ever been in the middle of the Louisiana swamp, it's probably not for everyone in the middle of the night. Okay, I wouldn't recommend going out there. But anyway, they go out there in this old camp, and he's in search of this number and what it means. So he goes out there 3.5 days before 11-11-11. So he goes out there 3.5 days before. And the reason for that is he was going through the Bible, like a lot of people, trying to figure out, okay, what's the biblical tie-in to 11-11? Well, one of the places he goes is Revelation 11-11. And when he gets to Revelation 11-11, he reads the passage, and in the passage it says, when they stood on their feet, great fear fell on those who saw them. That's 11-11 in Revelation. Well, what does that mean? Well, there's I've done quite a bit of research on this. What I think it means is something great, something powerful. Could it be something rose? Did it rise maybe to heaven? Could it be something related to whether it's Jesus or something that stood up and great fear fell upon those? You know, when you read the Bible, Jesus raised the dead. Well, if you were there and you believed that, and if you saw that, I'm sure that would be pretty scary when somebody's bringing somebody back to life. So if you believe that, there was a lot of fear in those people because most people didn't understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes there 3.5 days before 11-11-11, figuring, okay, that's the time. And that's my time frame. And he believes at 11 p.m. on 11/11, he's going to get the answer. And just like when earlier when I told Chris, you know, I'm searching. I was searching for something. I was searching for the meaning to why am I writing this story. I was searching for the tie-in to what does it mean with me and my father and all of this. And Chris told me way back, quit searching. Stop searching. The minute you stop searching, you will, the answers will come to you. And so Sam in this story, he doesn't understand that. He's a bulldog. He's searching. He's going to offend everybody around him over those 3 days. I mean, imagine being with somebody who's just obsessed. And he's going to find this, he's going to discover this answer if it kills him. Well, guess what? It might kill him. Mm. Now, I'm not going to give away the story, but it takes Sam to the edge. It takes him to the brink of his sanity. It pushes him to places that very few of us ever go. But if you've ever pushed yourself, whether it's physically, mentally, whatever it is, if you've ever pushed yourself to the limit, you know what I'm talking about. There's mm-hmm. that line. Right. And that line, once you cross that line, I mean, some people, it's hard to determine where the line actually is, but some people cross the line and just keep going. And you know, those people, some people say they're crazy. Some people say they've lost it. Some people say whatever they say. Some people cross that line and never turn back. Some people get to the line and then they're scared to step over it. They're like, okay, I got to get back to my normal 9-to-5 world because this is crazy. Sam gets to that point, and what Sam does with it is what makes this story so good.
Cool.
And
I would love to be able to read your screenplay, and I would love to be able to get, you know, I know you don't want to give this away on the air, but I'm very intrigued. I'm also a writer, and I'm working on a sci-fi version of an 11/11 story as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very exciting, and I just want to congratulate you for following your leading on this and going ahead with it and writing what you're writing. I think it sounds very intriguing.
Well, I appreciate that. It has pushed me personally to my physical limits. I had some other projects on the table before this ever came up, and when I put this on the table, everybody around me said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" And I said, "I've never been more sure of anything in my entire career. I don't." And this is not about, you know, this was not a business decision. Okay, I did not do this as a business decision. In fact, when I sat down and analyzed the business decision of doing this, I probably would have not done it because it was just too time consuming. It took me away from other things that I was going to do with the business. So for me to do this was just basically, it was a huge leap of faith. So we'll see where it takes me.
I just want to mention, you guys, that my phone is starting to run out of battery. So, Steve, if for some reason my phone dies, call back in at 646-716-8158. That's our call-in number. And
Wait, 646?
716-8158. It may last. Sometimes it does. But if it doesn't, no need to panic. I'll just call back.
8158, right?
Yeah. And then,
can we continue? Can we continue online?
Yeah, we should be able to continue talking even if her phone cuts out.
Yeah, because I'm concerned about mine right now, too.
Yeah, 2-hour phone calls, right? Kind of do it in sometimes. But
speaking of which, we only have a half an hour left on the show. So if any of our other callers would like to call in and share anything about their 11/11 experiences or their ideas, or to ask questions of Steve, our filmmaker, you're welcome to call in to 646-716-8158. We'll be on the air for another half hour, and we would love to hear from you.
So, hey, guys, I'm going to have to jump in about 10 minutes, okay? So we can go. I can go another 10 minutes, and then I have an appointment that I have to take care of. But
all righty.
Ask me anything you want. We can, you know, the main thing is I'd like is, you know, your listeners to definitely check out the website. They can go to ghostriderpictures.com, or they can go to the 1111phenomenon.com and see all about this story. But I'll answer any questions you may have, or any of your people that may call in may have.
Well, here's the obvious one that's coming from our dear friend Dr. Dave on the board. He just can't imagine that you wouldn't wait until 11/11/11 to release the movie. So he's wanting to know, you know, if you can wait 11 days and then release it on 11/11/11.
You know, and that's
because
Halloween
is probably a better weekend for his film, though, to hit airwaves.
You know, it depends on the distributor. The business is the business, and at the end of the day, we will have to do a distribution deal with a distributor. So, you know, hopefully we're not going to be distributing the film on our own, because then that, you know, then very few people will see it in the first go-round. We've got distributors already interested in the project right now. But, you know, keep in mind we still have we have a ways to go. Now, if for whatever reason, I do have a plan B for this film, but I don't even want to talk about plan B. Let's think about plan A, and that would be releasing the film. And our date that we've had for a while now is Halloween. Number one, it's a great date to release a film, especially a thriller. Number two, it just so happens to be 11 days prior to 11/11/11. But, hey, the distributor may decide, hey, they're going to release it on 11/11/11. That's possible. Another school of thought, somebody came to me and said that, and this was somebody who could distribute the film, and said we would prefer shooting the film on 11/11/11, meaning the scene where Sam is trying to discover that date, we're actually shooting at the time Sam is in real life, in real time. You know what I'm saying? We're shooting at 11 o'clock. We're actually shooting at 11/11/11 at 11 p.m. when something very special happens to Sam.
Wow.
So that's the other school of thought here. At the end of the day, most of those decisions are made by the distributor.
I think plan B should be do a documentary on television. A continued weekly.
You know, the behind the scenes, the making of this movie will be very interesting. So there's all kinds of you know, there's all kinds of possibilities here. So I'm just doing like I said earlier. I'm in the moment. I'm hanging on for the ride, and I'm working very hard. That's all I can tell you. But I'm gonna let the spirit take me.
Well, and there's, you know, and it's hard work. And, you know, I don't really know, not being my business, obviously. I've never made a film before. I would have loved to. I love the dramatic arts, and I would have loved to have been involved with the making of a film, just to know. But it seems like, you know, it would take longer than that. Does it not take longer than that, Steve? I mean, could you do this movie over the summer?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the keys
is
probably the funding.
What's that?
One of the keys is probably your funding, right?
Yeah, well, the biggest key right now is the funding, because without the, you know, we've got about 50% of the funds raised. We've got about 50% committed. I've got other commitments, verbal commitments that are in place. We're going to see what happens this coming week. Since I'm leaving for Europe on this documentary shoot next Sunday, I'll be out of pocket for 10 days. Now, my producing partner's name's Ole Sassone. He's a great guy, one of the top producers down here. He'll kind of take over while I'm gone, but I'm hoping when I come back from Europe, we're full steam ahead. We're looking at putting together a great cast. I can't mention any names, but we're talking to some very well-known actors to play, especially the role of Sam, the lead role. Everybody's heard of these people, and I just can't mention any names because right now we're in the process of putting some deals together. So,
well, that's great. I was just at study group 2 weeks ago, and I ran into a woman who I hadn't met there before at the Urantia study group on Tuesday nights, and she happened to have a son in the industry in Hollywood, and we started talking about all the people that we knew that we had run into just in the last year who were really significantly tied in with the Hollywood scene, and how much that scene is starting to change, and how the powers are shifting, and how people with new ideas like yours are starting to get some real notice. And I just had the feeling that that was yet another way that our friends, the Angels and Midwayers, are working with us to network us socially so that we can really start to support one another in getting some quality work out into the film industry and onto the big screen and distributed. You know, even more important than getting a film made is getting it distributed so that the majority of people even have an opportunity to see it.
Well, you might also want to think. You might also want to think of. I'm sorry.
Ahead,
I just said you might also want to think of the Texas Motion Picture Association or Council. Maybe do a brief part of the shooting in Houston and, you know, get the support because they're very, very big and very strong.
Right. Now, you know, we've already qualified for the Louisiana tax credit, so we're getting 30% back. For investors, this is a really good deal because we've already got the 30% tax credit guaranteed coming back. That means every dollar we spend in Louisiana, 30% comes back to us. So before we ever distribute a film, let's say for every $1 million we spend, you know, $300,000 comes back from the state. And then
that's excellent.
Yeah, it is. And then we've got some other incentives. So right now I can probably show almost guaranteed 70%, 60-70% of the total budget coming back guaranteed. That's pretty strong.
And I know that there are some actors, filmmakers, actors, musicians, et cetera, from New Orleans who have been promoting work that's being done and shot and centered around Louisiana. So with any luck, you'll be getting their support as well.
Right. Well, I mean, between Ole and I, we're connected with a lot of people down here. So my main thing is just putting the financing together and then making the offers to the talent. And we've got, I mean, I've got Academy Award-winning actors ready to play.
I mean, I'm thinking
now,
of like Harry Connick Jr. and some of those
mm-hmm.
people who've, you know, gone on the airwaves and put a shout out to try to get big money behind some artistic ventures there.
Well, not only that, but you've got Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, who are both tremendous supporters of independent films, and you know, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, you know. So, but it's just what we were saying before, Steve. You know, you've got a lot of help with this thing that's not seen, and they're going to bring you the funding you need. There's no doubt.
Well, you know, I believe that. I really do. So, and look, the door's open. What we've done is, and this is kind of an interesting thing. I mean, look, the independent film world is like the Wild Wild West, and some great films have been made, but some good films have been made that never see the light of day. Now, we don't want that to happen over here,
right.
Okay? So, and I've been very successful at getting distribution. But here's what we're doing.
Good.
We're you know, we're offering a 4% finder's fee if anybody brings anybody to the table that wants to be part of this film. And our
oh, cool.
minimum investment is $25,000 per unit. So so
well, that's
it's not,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And it's all of that stuff's on the website. So when you click on the website, you fill out the investor form. You can see some of that. And then when somebody fills out the form, they submit it. We review it. If everything's on the up and up, then we send the investor info out there. And the investor info consists of the operating agreement, and it consists of the business plan. And so an investor can look at everything from a business standpoint and can see that this is a good – this is a good opportunity. It's a solid business deal.
And you have a proven track record, and that's a good thing. I mean, you have
we're good guys. You know, my thing is, my first and foremost thing is, hey, be straight up with your investors. Be honest. Tell them exactly how it is. Hey, this is the movie business, okay? We can't guarantee that this is going to make money, but We can promise that this is a great opportunity that has a really good shot at making really, you know, paying the investors back and actually turning a profit. But you know, the movie business has risk in it, just like most other things. I mean, people have learned the hard way that real estate is not a guarantee either over the past few years. So, you know, we're honest, we're straightforward, we dot the I's, cross the T's. There's no guesswork here, and we're good people. We just love what we do. I've got a passion for telling stories. Anybody that knows me will tell you my favorite word in the dictionary is passion, and this is my passion. I love
it. Well, that sounds wonderful, Steve. I know you've got to get going. You're running out of time, and I don't want to make you late for your next commitment, but do you have a last word before you head out?
Yeah, what I'd like to say is, first of all, thank you guys for having me on the show. Keep in touch. You've got my contact information, definitely the Facebook and, you know, email. You've even got my phone numbers. Keep in touch. I want to thank everybody out there who's listening that you know, for listening to what we had to say today. And it was fun. It was a good time. And go to the website, the1111phenomenon.com, and check it out.
Will do. And I'll be sending you your Rancher book, Steve, so you can read up on the 1111.
I appreciate that. And make sure you give me your return address, and I'll send you my copy of Ain't That Super. How's that?
Oh, wonderful. I'd
wonderful.
Love
that. And in the meantime,
you better sign it, okay? I want a signed copy.
Okay, we'll do.
And in the meantime, Steve, go online and just Google Paper 77, the Midwares Urantia book, and it'll pull it up and you can read it right online. Just read Paper 77 while you're writing your book.
Right.
All right.
I mean, excuse me, your screenplay.
Well,
thank you so much for joining us. And Jeannie, don't hang up. We have somebody who has a question for you sent via Facebook that I need to ask you after Steve hangs up. So hang in there.
All right.
With us.
Well, thank you guys so much, and keep in touch. Okay, and I hope you're at the world premiere when we show this thing.
Oh,
we'll be there. You invite. You send us an invitation, and we'll come.
All right.
Me too.
Stay in tune with the website, and we'll post all the info there. But we'll be in touch. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Bless you.
Have a wonderful, blessed week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, folks, we're down to our last 15 minutes practically. And we had someone who was not able to get on our chat room today who had a question for Jeannie.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, she said you mentioned when you first got on the air that you had a face-to-face experience with a midwayer. You sat
yes,
down and talked with one for 2 hours. And we, you know, brushed right over that and went on with some more questions for Steve. So I apologize for just, you know, steamrolling you on that. But
oh, no, he was the star.
For the sake of our listener, Sydney, we'd like to ask you that question. Tell us about that story.
Well, that it's I'll probably cry. I usually do every time I talk about it.
Well, and remember, we've only got a few minutes left, so we'll probably need the Reader's Digest version.
I'll condense it considerably. I was at a club that I used to go to quite often. I called it my sanity. And one evening, I had been talking to someone that was going through a lot of trouble. They always seemed to congregate to me. And when I went back into the club, there was a bar stool next to this lady I had been consoling. I looked around, and no one was there. And suddenly, a man, very nice-looking man in his 30s, looked like a golfer, said, "Jeannie, may I speak with you?" And I said, "Well, sure." And he said that he was an angel, and he was sent there to let me know that they knew what I had been going through. And he was sent there to let me know that everything was going to be all right. Everything in the room disappeared, except for he and I, for I have no idea how long. We talked for a good length of time, and toward the end of the conversation, I asked him why he chose that place to talk to me. And he said, "You're here, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, yes." And he said, "Are you doing anything wrong?" And I said, "Well, I don't think so." And he said, "Well, this is as good a place to let you know that we're here as any." And then a few minutes later, after talking some more, and I don't remember the whole conversation, I just get very emotional when I think or talk about it. I asked him, I said, "Well, I'll never see you again." He said, "Not in this form and not anytime soon." And I said, "Well, thank you." And someone called me. I turned around for just a second. I turned back around and he was gone.
Wow. Mm.
And Jeannie, what were you going through at the time?
Severe depression. I had been abused. I'd been going through a lot of different things. I have since read in the 1111 or had the messages that come to me that say that are almost quoting everything I'm saying and feeling and have said. But it is said now, I understand, that I have gone through all of these things so that I can help others go through them. And right. I can understand. Which I do. And I have. But it's quite exciting. And I'm sure that this person is asking that because they've had the same experience and don't know what to think about it. I still don't know quite what to think about it, but I'm getting better. I'm starting to learn more. And that's one reason I was so grateful to see this broadcast today. So if you have more questions, you're more than welcome to contact me on Facebook or through the email address I gave earlier, or call me. I don't care. You know, I'm wide open with this. I don't care if people think I'm nuts anymore.
I'll email you today and give you our phone numbers and so you can contact us and our email numbers as well. But, wow, that's an amazing story. And in that situation, it could have been either an angel or a midwayer.
Oh, yes.
Because angels do have the ability to appear before us in times of crisis. And ironically, the people that I've spoken to who've had angel appearances, that's almost always been the message, which is hang in there. Don't worry. It's going to get better.
Exactly.
It's almost always what they say. It's an amazing thing, and that so much comfort can come from such a simple message.
That and my angel feathers and other things that have happened. I have quite a group of events and experiences. I think I've been blessed, and I definitely think I'm in training.
Well, I believe that's probably true.
Well, and you know,
very much.
You know, if they can count on us to be their partners in this work, then they'll go to extraordinary measures. And then this is my experience, to keep us on board with that, because they need us so much. It's really sad to think how few humans actually go in willing partnership with God, in that they know that they become, when they do that, they are working with the angels and they're working with the agencies of our Creator, our Heavenly Father, our first great source and center. And they become the ears and the eyes and the hands and the hearts. I have a friend who says that Jesus made the hand of God small enough to grasp. And I think that we all have that ability because we're here with each other. If the angels could hug a troubled soul, they would. But they count on us.
Oh, I've been hugged. I've been hugged many times.
Right. They count on us.
I totally feel that.
And when we pray, more often than not, it is another human who comes and comforts us because they're being led by God to do so.
Yes.
And so you're obviously willing to work with them and wanting to work with you.
Well, I would be delighted. And one thing I would like to put in everybody's mind, it keeps repeating to me that through all the things that I've been through, which are vast, I never blame anybody. You know, I believe that everything is a lesson or an experience, and it's something we learn from. So I never blame God. I never blame somebody else. I never really blame me. Well, I blame me more than anyone, I guess. But I think that the lesson we all need to learn is that this is something to learn by, not blame God for.
Oh, that's so true. Because resentment and blame and all of that sort of negative energy does nothing but rob us of our own mental, creative, emotional, and spiritual energy. And it is so important to sort of slough that kind of stuff off or let it go and let it be replaced by higher-minded spirituality. One of my favorite all-time quotes, it's not from the Arantia book, but from a plenary speech that I heard once, which is that, you know, forgiveness is not for those who deserve it. If they deserved it, that would be justice.
Wow.
And just, how important it is to not carry the resentment, because forgiveness is for us even more than it is for those who are forgiving.
Right.
I heard one thing from a person that I didn't think was very wise, but I think it was a very wise thought. And it says, he told me, he said, Jeannie, just remember, it's not my will be done, it's thy will be done.
Yeah.
Gives you something to think about.
The Arantia book tells us that we can take that even one step further and say, it is my will that your will be done to our Heavenly Father.
Ooh, I love that.
Yes.
That's
it is
beautiful.
My will, Father, that your will be done.
One of the things that I felt so fortunate about growing up with my family, and I was fortunate enough to grow up with the Urantia book, I'm a second generation Urantia book reader, was that I grew up with this experience of God as just being my loving Father, not having any negative wishes for me, and not being afraid of God, and not being afraid of death, not being afraid of what was coming next, and just believing that I lived in a friendly universe. And one of the most beautiful things that I got was, one of the first things that I got was that doing the Father's will, doing God's will, finding God's will in my life and actually doing it would be the most exciting, the most adventurous, the most satisfying, the most fulfilling thing I could ever imagine. And that it's not about sort of not getting what you want. It's wanting what you get. You know,
yeah.
Wanting even the negative things that happen to you in life, to realize that there's purpose for that, and that by learning to adjust to the circumstances of our lives, even the most negative ones,
We're spiritualizing our personality, and we're strengthening our, girding our loins and strengthening ourselves for the eternal adventure ahead.
But what a difficult
thing
to do.
And that every dream that we ever have of any real value will come to pass in time and in eternity. And that is such an exciting thing for a kid to hear. Well, it's a pretty exciting thing for a grown-up to hear, too.
No kidding. I need that, girl. Hey, I want to thank you so much. I hope I answered the question. But if there are any more of me, please let me know. And I'll be happy to do anything I can to help or to
Well, it's sure been
whatever.
A pleasure having you on the air. I'm so glad you called
yeah.
us today.
It
well,
sure
it
is.
Just
and
appeared
you know what?
In
Jeannie,
front of me. I'm sorry?
Jeannie, I'd be happy to send you a your answer book, too.
Oh, God. It only if it's autographed.
Okay.
Well,
yes,
just,
I would
just
love
remember,
to have it.
Just remember that if you get an autographed version, you're getting an autographed version from a reader, not the author.
I don't care
because
we're
yeah,
all together
authors,
in this.
That's right. Yeah, we don't possibly autograph it, except that maybe they do. Their autograph is all throughout it. You just have to read it to see it. So.
Yeah, you
well,
see,
like I said,
you
we're
see
together
they're
on
writing
it, so
all
it doesn't
over.
Matter.
But we just want to make sure that our listeners understand this is not a book that we've claimed to have written.
No, I would very much. I need all the help I can get right now. Believe me. Have a lung disease that is not much fun, and this is just another part of my learning and growing. And I need all of the assistance I can get to get all of the knowledge and be able to help others.
Well, we can sure relate to what you're going through. Both Paula and I have had our share of health issues and grieving over the loss of things we were able to do in the past and can't do now, or loved ones who have gone on before us and that we're dealing with and knowing what it's like to have to deal with hardship and still to maintain an attitude of joy and reverence and humor. And I personally want to thank Paula for being with me yesterday when I was going through a particularly rough day. Thanks for being there for me, Paula.
Oh, sweetie. You know I love you so much.
Ditto.
Crystal and I both had a hard week last week. I lost my sister on Tuesday after a long battle with debilitating disease. So, and she was a kind and sweet and dear person and one of my best friends. And as much as we know, this life goes on, you know, that there are, like Jesus said, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go there now to prepare a place for you. And I know that my sister has a place in those many mansions. Still, you know, the world seems like a little bit lonelier place.
Well, when
you
stop and think that she is just waiting for you and preparing some stuff for you, you'll walk together again soon.
And
oh,
that
yeah,
she'll be there in the group welcoming you when you wake up. That's
and
like
when you
a
say
exciting
time flies,
thought.
It'll fly.
What?
Time flies, and it will fly.
It does, and, you know, we're all... It's just a matter of time, and then we're all on that other side.
Yep.
And it's like being born, you know.
So celebrate, darling.
Yeah,
but we still really miss being able to pick up the phone and call our best friend.
Oh,
and,
hey, I still try to pick up the phone and call my mom, you know. And that big yellow and brown, I'll have to tell you about that one sometime, too, because I have a yellow and brown butterfly that... flew over her grave and over our heads, and it still comes to my backyard.
Wow.
And that's
but happy are they who mourn when a friend is at hand to comfort.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
So
and
just
you know,
be aware. She'll let you know she's there.
Yeah, she will. And, you know, I believe that the angels take those messages for us, and I know that they've told her they've given her all the love of my heart, and they'll give it back to me from her. I'm quite sure of that.
I think she's been sitting there getting it for herself.
Yeah.
I don't think she has to be given. She's receiving.
Oh, yeah.
Now she just has to let you know she's there receiving.
Yeah.
So pay attention. Right. She'll talk to you.
Exactly.
Well, ladies, I think your time
seconds.
Is up.
It is. And thank you so much for calling.
The end of another show.
To have you on the show. Yeah. This
well,
was a
please
fun
let
one.
Me know when the next one is, because I sure would love, if nothing else, to. I don't want to barge in all the time. But I would love to at least listen in.
We're going off the air in about 5 seconds, so
call in anytime.
We want to thank you and thank all of our listeners, and please stay tuned and call back in. And until next time, have a wonderful week.
Until next
God
time.
God bless.
God bless you.
God bless.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Cosmic Citizen, a radio program focused primarily on the study and discussion of the Urantia Book and its teachings. The Urantia Book is a religious text that claims to be written by angels and other superhuman personalities. If you are a Urantia Book reader or a spiritual seeker looking for new truth, we hope and pray you have been nourished and edified by our ministry. Please remember that the views expressed on this program do not reflect the official views and opinions of any Urantia organizations. There is no official interpretation of the Urantia Book, so all opinions expressed on this program exclusively reflect the personal biases of the hosts, guests, and callers who participate in these discussions. And remember, only a brave person is willing honestly to admit and fearlessly to face what a sincere and logical mind discovers.
Did you ask me?
Uh-huh.
That's a good movie. You'll love it. Ooh, Hannah's really good. She's intense.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. I love that movie.
Do you want to go see it again?
I don't know. Let me think about it.
Okay.
When are you going?
Go.
I don't know. Do you want to see Hannah again?
I'm doing some homework.
Yeah.
That's so much.
But you wanted to do something today, right? You wanted to get something.
Off.
Yeah, go to Hobby Lobby.
You have to take me over to Jenny's house.
Who's your house?
Jenny. She might hire you to take.
Okay.
If you want to go, we should go to Hobby Lobby right now.
To the movie? I'm probably not going to go see Hannah again.
You know.
I mean, it's a great movie. I could watch it again, but I don't know.